This is Ask Hank, where Hank Hanegraaff, the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, takes 3 minutes to further equip you to defend your faith.
Bridget in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Bridget.
Hello. I have a question. I never came across anything in the Bible that said to be married in, like, a church or, like, you know, like, by a pastor. But I was just wondering, are you able to be married spiritually in God's eyes?
The human condition is such that we need to make a commitment before man as well as before God. So many people think that marriage is just a feeling of love, but love has never been exclusively a feeling. The bedrock of love is commitment. Feelings ebb and flow, but a commitment never dies. And if a commitment is the foundation of your love relationship, then that commitment should be made formally and publicly, again, in the eyes of God, with a commitment to cherish and honor, take care of that loved one until death do us part.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure, you know. And another thing is that my fiance is Jehovah's Witness, and I'm a Christian. What does the Bible say about mixing religions?
Do not be unequally yoked. Unequivocal, clear, direct. A Jehovah's Witness has a completely different Jesus than you do. The Jesus of Christianity is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is the Archangel Michael, who was, during his earthly sojourn, merely human, and after his death recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is not the Jesus of the Bible, nor is the plan of salvation a biblical plan of salvation. It's about what you do as opposed to what Jesus Christ has done for you. For the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus Christ was not even the creator of all things. He was created by God and became a junior partner in the creation of all other things. Nor is their Bible or their authority equivalent to the Christian Bible. The New World Translation is a perverted translation of the Bible. So these are two religious systems, one based in history and evidence, the other cultic, that can never be harmonized. And I can tell you right now that if you go down this road, you are bringing yourself a life of sorrow.
For more Ask Hank episodes or for the full Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well as many other resources to defend the truth of the gospel, visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. Do you have pressing Bible questions? Questions about cults, world religions, or cultural issues? If so, you've tuned to the right place. Coming up in just a few minutes, you can hear your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide Christians worldwide with carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers that encourage them in their faith and equip them to intelligently represent it to people influenced by ideas and teachings that assault or undermine Orthodox biblical Christianity. You can ask your question on air by calling 888-ASK-HANK weekdays between 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We do what we do because life and truth matter. We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teaching such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym FARCE, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on the air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone calls and talk to Moses in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Moses.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Can you elaborate on the biblical perspective on the topic of tattoos?
Yeah, well, there's only one passage in Scripture that might remotely refer to tattoos, and that's found in Leviticus chapter 19. And in that passage, God is forbidding the Israelites from wearing tattoos for a reason, and that reason is that they are to be separated from the practices of the pagan cultures around them. And I think that what we should note here is that the reason behind the forbidding of tattoos was not because tattoos are intrinsically wrong, but because they were associated with paganism. And that is the very thing that Israel was not allowed to do, and that is associate with paganism. Rather, they were to bring light into the specter of paganism. They were called to be a light to the nations, not to associate with the practices of the nations. So again, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with having a tattoo. The real issue is a motive of the heart.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. And you know, there was a question I was asked on yesterday's broadcast, and every now and then I have to say, I don't know the answer to that question. I got to research and return. Yesterday, Mindy called me, and she is from Arizona, and she was asking about why churches have numbers like First Baptist Church or 10th Presbyterian Church or Second Baptist Church. And I guessed, I told Mindy I was guessing at the answer, but I wanted to be absolutely certain because I hadn't actually looked into this. So I spent some time looking into this, and interestingly enough, First or Second, as in First Baptist Charlotte or Second Baptist Houston, well, there are a lot of reasons for this. And you need to look at the history of each individual church to know why it is named as it is named. But usually the original number in a Protestant church indicates the chronological order in which the church was founded in that particular city. So, for example, the famous 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. I spoke there just before James Montgomery Boyce died in 2000. I think it was the year 2000 at least. That 10th Presbyterian Church was named because at its founding, way back in the 1800s, it was the fact that 10th Presbyterian Church was the 10th Presbyterian Church founded in the city of Philadelphia. That's how it got its name. First Baptist Charlotte was the first Baptist church to be founded in Charlotte, North Carolina, even though it wasn't actually named that originally. It was originally named Beulah Baptist Church. But when it moved in the 1800s, later on, it became First Baptist Church, and by the way, also the home of Billy Graham's First Crusade. The original number can also, however, indicate a schism, as in the denomination First Congregational Methodist Church in the U.S., which was formed back in the 1900s by people who had withdrawn from the Congregational Methodist Church. So there are a number of different reasons why a church is appended by a particular numeral. I also want to mention something that I've probably neglected to mention as much as I should on the Bible Answer Man broadcast all this month, and that is the resources that we are making available to those who support the ministry. Zombie Science by Jonathan Wells. This is one of those resources that I'm passionate about and ought to be talking about a whole lot more. You can get your copy as you support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We also have some other related resources like the film Icons of Evolution and my flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. And one of the things I want to highlight on today's broadcast is just how significant it is for you to know that the universe in which you reside is not a function of chance. And I'm speaking of chance in the sense of that which happens without purpose, chance implying the absence of both design and a designer. And I want to point out, as I typically do, that this is an absurd notion. And to know just how absurd the notion is, think about an eye. The absurdity of boldly asserting that an eye, with its vast complexity, is merely a function of random chance. Darwin himself found it hard to swallow the notion that the eye could be the product of blind evolutionary processes. In fact, he conceded that the intricacies of the human eye gave him cold shudders, as it most certainly should, because it stretches credulity to suggest that this is a function of, again, the word chance. It is one thing to surmise that the eye could have evolved in concert with myriad other coordinated functions, another to suppose that it's just a function of blind chance. As far as suggesting that it could have evolved in concert with other coordinated functions, think about the fact that as you look around wherever you are, there are a vast number of impulses traveling from your eyes through millions of nerve fibers that are transmitting information to a very complex computing center in your brain. It's called the visual cortex. And linking visual information from the eyes to motor centers in the brain is absolutely crucial in coordinating a vast number of bodily functions that are axiomatic to the very process of daily living. And without the coordinated development of the eye and the brain in synergistic fashion, the isolated developments themselves are not only meaningless, they're counterproductive. So what happened when a photon of light hit the human eye was beyond 19th century science. But today, the black box of vision has been opened, and it has revealed a mind-blowing biochemical complexity that can't be accounted for by mere purposeless processes. So never forget, as you look at irreducible complexity, that this is not a function of chance. This is a direct function of a creator. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Michelle, San Juan, California. Michelle is listening on the web. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
I have been an evangelical born-again Christian since I was 14, saved by Chuck Smith Sr. from Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. And I came, my family of origin was sick, toxic, and dysfunctional. I've had suicidal thoughts since I was a child, never had an attempt, because I know the Bible says that in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. and it's a mortal sin, and I would burn in hell forever, all of eternity. However, I am to the point where I'm seriously contemplating taking my life. I even last month tried to admit myself into a psychiatric stress unit for safety purposes, but was turned away due to inadequate insurance. Mm. So I was wondering if you could give me some biblical scriptures to help me, get over this.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I ought to do is pray for you. Lord, thank you for this encounter through the miracle of technology. And Lord, I pray for Michelle. I pray that your superabundant grace may flood her soul, and may she have an acute awareness, even in this moment, that she is created in your image and likeness, that you have called her for a purpose that is far greater than she can even imagine, and that even the testimony of depression or the thoughts of suicide can be used in your providence for your glory and for her benefit. Oh Lord, the phrase that is so often repeated comes to mind because it is from your word, that all things, you create all things in such a way, you allow all things to come into our lives in such a way that they are for your purpose and for your glory, and that all things work together for good to those who love you and are the called according to your purposes. So even this can be used by your grace for Michelle's benefit and for the extension of your kingdom. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would allow your peace to pervade her soul. And Lord, help her to recognize that sin is a sickness and that you have come so that that sickness might be alleviated, that it might be transformed. And Lord, we thank you that she already has a sense that suicide is murder, the murder of oneself, and that that suicide should never be contemplated in a right frame of mind. So Lord, as you have given me this opportunity to pray for Michelle, I pray that you would bring people and circumstances into her life so that she might come to a true valuation of things. Oh Lord, keep her from the thoughts that would cause her to take such extreme action. And Lord, surround her with your people. May she be part of a healthy, well-balanced church where when she slips or falls or her thoughts devolve, there are those that can pick her up and give her encouragement. And we do pray, Lord, that you will use this very occasion to help Michelle come to a true valuation of things. And we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Amen. And Michelle, I want to pray for you first, because this is obviously a very serious thing. You already know the answer that suicide, if you are in your right mind, is something that should never be contemplated. If during a period of despondency someone takes their life, we wouldn't say it's the unforgivable sin, but as you have already articulated in a very rational sense, you are not to take your own life. God has a purpose for your life, and every moment that God allows you to live is precious. And so, I think that you're already aware of the horrendous evil of taking your own life or taking a prerogative that is God's alone into your own hands. So I simply pray for you, and I pray that God will give you a sense that your life has transcendent meaning and purpose, and that even in the worst of circumstances, if you compare your life to people who are suffering in other parts of the world, perhaps your life would look quite bright. So the suicidal thoughts oftentimes have a psychological base. They have a base, sometimes even in a physical malady. But in either case, whether it's psychophysical, I think the problem always needs to be addressed by looking for a proper solution. You know, when I have cancer, I go to a cancer specialist. And if you have a psychological issue that you need to deal with, you need to go to someone who can help you deal with that from the perspective of the alternatives that are available today. But ultimately, it's critical that you find yourself in a healthy, well-balanced church, because without the church, you are absolutely impotent. We are called as Christians to a community, and we can never walk this road alone. I will certainly be praying for you. If there's anything else we can do, any literature you need, hang on. We'll provide that for you as well. I am coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The resources that I talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back. So please don't touch that dial.
Using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, Hank Hanegraaff reminds you why evolutionary theory is false, and he wants to equip you with this flip chart titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series, and it's our thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your Farce of Evolution flip chart when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. In the eyes of materialistic scientists who are the guardians of Darwinian dogma, the idea that you and I are the result of any intelligent purpose or design is quaint at best and delusional at worst. The tragedy is that this brand of materialistic evolution remains triumphant because too many Christians are either still unaware of the ruse or ill-equipped to engage these lies head-on. The fatal flaws in Darwinian evolutionary theory are growing more transparent, and it's well-informed Christians like you shining a spotlight on its empirical bankruptcy using resources like Zombie Science by Dr. Jonathan Wells that times like these desperately need. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. There was once a time when the fall of the Berlin Wall seemed unimaginable, yet that day came. Likewise, the prevailing cultural conformance to the dogma of Darwinian evolution seems so pervasive that it's hard to imagine an end to this era. But Dr. Jonathan Wells believes that truth will prevail and uses the example of vampires to explain how. Wells writes that battling vampires presents the best metaphor for fighting dogmatic materialism masquerading as empirical science. One way to kill a vampire, according to popular lore, is to expose it to direct sunlight. To end the reign of Darwinism, it is essential to be equipped with the light of truth. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I couldn't help but think about Michelle and continue to pray for her during the break. Think about some of the passages in Scripture where Jesus is pointing out that the thief comes only to kill and to destroy, but that he has come that we might have life and have life to the full. Or the Old Testament prophet Isaiah saying, don't fear because I'm with you. Don't be dismayed for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will withhold and uphold your life with my righteous hand. I was also thinking about the very last sermon my dad ever preached, which is in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp. And I remember my dad talk about to grasp, to know. He used the Dutch word bekenne, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then the benediction, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or all we imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. And again, the takeaway for me is rooted in the fact that we ought to be together with the saints, grasping how wide and deep and long and high the love of Christ is, and that his love is greater than all of our circumstances. I remember when I was diagnosed with cancer, hearing the words of a dear saint in church telling me that she too had gone through the precise same regimen of cancer that I had, the same chemotherapy, the same disease, and saying that if she had to go through this again, for the purpose of having learned to know her God intimately, she would do it. Because the sea in Christ overwhelms the sea in cancer. And so it is with all the circumstances of our life. We can know that Christ is sufficient if we cast ourselves upon him, if he becomes preeminent, if we don't only know about him, but we are in him. And we receive the nourishing sap of the the vine itself and don't try to sustain ourselves, but are sustained by Christ. Again, I'm thinking about some of the resources available to our constituency, those who support the ministry. Remember those resources I talked about earlier in the broadcast. The reason we are so serious about putting these resources into your hands is there are serious consequences for believing in naturalistic evolution. As I've said on previous broadcasts, more consequences for society hinge on the cosmogenic myth of evolution than on any other. And among those consequences are the sovereignty of self, survival of the fittest, the sexual revolution. Consider the fact that the supposed death of God in the 19th century ushered in an epoch of time in which humans proclaimed themselves sovereigns of the universe. Humanity's perception of autonomy led to sacrificing truth on the altar of subjectivism. Ethics, morals, no longer determined on the basis of objective standards, but rather by the size and strength of the latest lobby group, and with no enduring reference point. Societal norms quickly reduced to mere matters of preference. Not only so, but evolutionism has popularized racist clichés like survival of the fittest. And nowhere were the far-reaching consequences of such cosmogenic mythology more evident than in eugenics, the pseudoscience that hypothesized that the less fit genes of inferior people were corrupting the gene pool. And as a result, segments of our society, including Jews and blacks, were subjected to state-sanctioned sterilization. You think it can't get any worse than that? But it does. The evolutionary dogma saddled society with the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution. We got rid of God. And now we have perversions in culture that were unthinkable. Even 5, 10, 20 years ago, as I was doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast, some of the perversions that we're facing today with gender fluidity or same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and all of its ramifications were quite startling and now have become quite normative in the culture. We could say today, move over, transgender kids. There's a new trend in town. There's an article in the Washington Examiner on this very subject. Why move over? What's the new trend? Drag kids. Think about that. Kids dressed in full garb of their biologically opposite gender. As Nicole Russell has pointed out, they are now joining the scene with transgender kids. The parents, the guardians, those who become the proliferators of transgenderism or drag kids, they're not only supportive, but they're encouraging the experience and the publicity that comes as a result of the experience. There's nothing politically correct about this new frontier. Says Nicole, it's abuse, merely distorted and cloaked in, well, you know the term, progressivism. As I think about all of that, I can still remember watching Conchita Wurst as she was pushing the boundaries of gender identity at a Eurovision Song Contest in Copenhagen, which boasted some almost 200 million television viewers. Wurst had won, and she was roundly lauded for, well, his courage in forwarding the normalcy of transgenderism, which continues to lag behind the growing acceptance of lesbian and gay and bisexual identities. The scene was quite amazing, sporting sensually highlighted eyes, a heavy dose of lipstick, cheekbones accentuated through an ample volume of makeup in a gorgeous spaghetti-strapped dress. And of course, there was the beard. The bearded drag queen championed progressive ideals of Western civilization against the backward tyranny of Eastern powers such as Russia, which stereotypically views the LGBTQ movement as a prime example of, well, spiritual decay in Western Europe and America. And shortly after seeing Conchita win this contest, I read a Kansas City Star account of a happy, kind, well, sweet and considerate six-year-old named AJ, who had been determined to be transgender. So this rough-and-tumble kid who once supported buzz cuts and dressed for his birthday as a pirate was growing her chestnut hair below her shoulders, and AJ was now a girl. And the narrative was crystal clear. Those who would so much as bat an eye at the determination of a six-year-old boy to become a girl are like the bigots who once fueled the fires of racism in America. The arc of history is moving quickly towards both greater tolerance and acceptance. Well, that's the politically correct response. An acceptance that, enhanced by Bruce Jenner, made transgenderism not only public, but also very, very popular in our culture. And amidst all of this growing confusion in the culture, it is so clear, so crystal clear, that you as a Christian need to be the change agent. We can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. The sexual revolution is a prime consequence of the evolutionary paradigm. And again, that is why I'm making available these resources, Zombie Science, my creation answer book, Icons of Evolution, the film, my flip chart, The Farce of Evolution, all of these resources to equip you to communicate truth with gentleness and with respect in a culture that is corroding around us. And why is it corroding around us? Well, it's not because pagans are doing what they're doing. What else would they do? That is their job description. It is because we as Christians aren't doing what we ought to be doing, which is to be salt and light. It is why we're equipping you to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And I am so thankful for all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth, because without you, we simply would not be able to be a lighthouse in the midst of the storm. And I invite those who have not as yet joined Sierra's monthly support team to consider doing just that. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, and when you join Sierra's monthly support team, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, a friend. Again, check that out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
In an age of empirical science, no statement could be more certain, clear, or correct than, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And now, you and I can readily share and defend this truth of God's work in creation with the aid of Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series, and Hank wants to equip you with this powerful resource as thanks for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call and request your Farce of Evolution flip chart today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. The popular television series Cosmos opens with Neil deGrasse Tyson proclaiming the need to follow the evidence wherever it leads and question everything. But are Tyson and his materialist cohorts complying with their scientific code of conduct? When it comes to the issue of origins, they most certainly are not. In his book, Zombie Science, Dr. Jonathan Wells points out the failure of so many scientists to follow the evidence wherever it may lead. Wells argues that empirical science is devolving into zombie science, shuffling along unfazed by opposing evidence. Is there a solution? Wells is sure of it and shows the way in his new book. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teaching such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym F-A-R-C-E, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Walking Dead is an extremely popular post-apocalyptic television series. Zombie Science is an extremely popular post-empirical science, which is motivated by materialism. While zombies are make-believe, zombie science is real, and it threatens not just science, but our whole culture. Is there a solution? Yes, there is, and Dr. Jonathan Wells shows the way in his book, Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from someone who needs no introduction, Charles Darwin. More consequences for society hinge on the cosmogenic myth of macroevolution than on any other. But Darwin himself, in his landmark publication, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, said this: to suppose that the eye, with all of its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree possible. All truth is God's truth, and I would ratify that truth. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Kenny, listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Kenny.
Hey. I got a question for you. I'm interested in the Catholic faith, and I was just come from a Baptist and Quaker, you know, Christian church. So, but I've been going to a Catholic church a couple of times. But should I be concerned on the doctrine and the tradition? And I mean, elaborate on what you think of, you know, the different ways.
Well, you know, I've said many times that the Roman Catholic Church, from my perspective, is a true church with significant error. That's why I personally am not Roman Catholic. It is because of the significant error within Roman Catholicism. And I think one of the great errors is that the Pope today can speak ex cathedra from the chair of Peter. And as a result of that, we can have new dogma in the present. And oftentimes that dogma contradicts what we know to be true as a result of the unanimous testimony of the fathers, as well as the testimony of the infallible Word of God. I think, for example, that purgatory is a highly spurious notion, a notion that I cannot embrace because there's no biblical basis for purgatory. This idea in Roman Catholicism that in the intermediate state after death, there are certain sins that can be atoned for by way of temporal punishment in purgatory. And by the way, Orthodoxy considers and has always considered the notion of purgation, defined by the Council of Florence in the 15th century and defended by the Council of Trent in the 16th, to be a late innovation lacking precedent in both Scripture and the teachings of the fathers. So there are issues there, the traditions or teachings that I don't think cohere well with either biblical history or holy tradition. Remember that tradition is not a problem. What is a problem is vain tradition. And in that sense, Paul refers to myths or legends, not tradition passed down and entrusted to the churches, but mythology and legend that we ought to be wary of.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Rebecca, listening in Louisiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So I have a witnessing kind of question. My father is transgender, and I've told him that I don't agree with it, and I see him as a man, and I see him as my father. But how do I maintain a relationship with him and reinforce his role as a father and that masculinity that's biblical and still be as honoring and as respectful as I can?
Yeah, I think one of the things you have to distinguish between is an identity and a behavior. Your dad is not anything other than a man. He is your father. That is his identity. To confuse his behavior with his identity would be a serious mistake. He is your father. Transgenderism is simply a behavior which doesn't correspond to biology. It doesn't correspond to theology in a proper way. So how do you react to that? Well, I think you have to recognize that you have an opportunity to demonstrate the reality of the Christian faith, not necessarily by your words, but by your life, by the way that you not only treat him, but the way you treat others. You can't change his heart, but the Holy Spirit can do that. And oftentimes it's more difficult for a child to witness to a parent than virtually anything else. And so sometimes instead of actually using words, what you do is you pray that God will bring people and circumstances into his life so that he might come to a true valuation of things, not conformed by the culture, but transformed by the renewing of his mind. Many people in the transgender movement, and I've talked to a number of them over the years, have great, great misgivings about their own behavior. And so by loving him unconditionally and then hoping and praying that God will bring others into his life to change his behaviors, you might find that prayer is indeed firing the winning shot.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, difficult circumstance, Rebecca, but don't give up hope, and you can honor your father by the testimony of your love, the testimony of your life, and pray that he gives you an opportunity to communicate the testimony of your lips as well, but brings other people and circumstances into his life as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that encouragement.
Yeah, I think it's of critical importance, and this is something that I have communicated in terms of how we are to be in this culture. The Bible is crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. The New Testament derives prescriptions against same-sex sexuality from the creation order of Genesis and the prohibitions of Leviticus. And not only that, but Scripture contends that wholly apart from access to special revelation, general revelation provides sufficient evidence to underscore God's condemnation of same-sex sexuality and gender fluidity and transsexuality. And we would also do well to recognize that the Bible does not condemn these activities in an arbitrary or capricious fashion. Rather, it carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. And there's no need whatsoever as Christians to have a we-they siege mentality. We must commit ourselves to be salt and light, and then to do so with, as what I mentioned a couple of times on the broadcast, to do so with gentleness and with respect. We can preach the right things, but in the wrong ways. We can be too aggressive. We can also be too meek. But when neither conviction or compassion is compromised, a revision is in order. And then we must never yield our consciences to this subtle lure of political correctness, because our consciences ultimately are captive. They belong to God. And to yield or abandon the call that God has placed upon our collective lives is something that we must never consider. To deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow to the foundation of a free civilization. Critical issues, but we have to deal with them in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Jeff next in Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. This is Jeff. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So here's my question. Been doing a lot of study and trying to nail down for myself, my core beliefs and those type of things in it. And I've been talking with a coworker who is a very staunch Reformed theologist and Calvinist. And I'll say, I accept the five solas. I accept being, separate and not conforming to Catholicism. But in the same, I also cannot accept, I reject Tua. So what does that make me?
Well, I hopefully this makes you a discerning Christian. I mean, I think what's critical is that you simply take what the Word of God says, not what theologians are telling you. So if Calvin tells you that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his pleasure arranged it, well, I think what you need to do is contrast that with what Scripture says. And Scripture's pretty clear in this case. You know, remember what the Lord says in Ezekiel, I think it's 33, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn from their wicked ways and live." So human free will, and I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, Nathan Jacobs, free will is implied from the first page of Scripture to the very last page of Scripture. The Bible portrays men and women as having minds and wills of their own. And I think of Joshua 24, the fear of the Lord is critical in this context. We fear Him, we serve Him with all faithfulness. We throw away our gods, the gods of the forefathers, worshipped beyond the river in Egypt, and we serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable, then choose for yourself. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether gods of your forefathers or will to serve the Lord. So again, choose will to serve the Lord. There are many other examples that could be given, but in this debate, an important debate, we have actually taken and relegated to paper. You can find some articles that we have done in this regard on the web at equip.org. One of the articles that is really worth reading, "How Should Christians Approach the Problem of Evil?" Another, "The Divine Sovereignty, Human Responsibility Debate." Both you can find on the web at equip.org. So you have a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist debating this in print. You can compare their use of Scripture one with another. And I think that you can come to a true valuation of things by doing that very thing. In the meantime, do remember, collegiality is very important in the debate as well. I've had this debate with friends who are Calvinists, like R.C. Sproul, who's gone home to be with the Lord. But we always did it with gentleness and with respect and loved one another throughout the process. Out of time for this edition of the show. See you tomorrow with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In the eyes of materialistic scientists who are the guardians of Darwinian dogma, the idea that you and I are the result of any intelligent purpose or design is quaint at best and delusional at worst. The tragedy is that this brand of materialistic evolution remains triumphant because too many Christians are either still unaware of the ruse or ill-equipped to engage these lies head-on. The fatal flaws in Darwinian evolutionary theory are growing more transparent, and it's well-informed Christians like you shining a spotlight on its empirical bankruptcy using resources like Zombie Science by Dr. Jonathan Wells that times like these desperately need. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.